Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, and it's the time of year we're talking about the NFL draft. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have Brock Jensen. Brock is an NFL draft prospect, quarterback from North Dakota State, where he won three national championships. But Brock is also a Wisconsin native. To kick things off here, Brock, can you tell us how a kid from Waupaca, Wisconsin ended up at North Dakota State?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. You know, for me, coming out of high school, the recruiting process was definitely not an easy one. I was getting recruited to a lot of different schools, but I couldn't crack that first offer. And, you know, I got my my opportunity late about 2 weeks before signing day, when NDSU made the first offer to me to come play football for them. So I was very happy, and I took full advantage of that opportunity, and it worked out great. I couldn't have been happier.
You obviously went on to a prolific career at North Dakota State. Can you tell us a little bit how NDSU built a national championship powerhouse, and how much winning three national championships has meant to you?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. You don't win back-to-back-to-back national championships with a lot of pieces falling into place, and having the right coaches and having the right leadership from all the way to the top of your program, starting with the athletic director. But, for me, it was just, coming in as a freshman, redshirting in the program, and watching that first year from the bleachers, we were 3-8, and we didn't reach our potential, and a lot of guys in my recruiting class, we all came together like, man, this isn't what NDSU is why we came here, and when we start playing, that's definitely not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen. That's not what NDSU football is all about. And we really made a commitment to each other and to our teammates and to the coaches that, we're going to do everything we possibly could to just take it game by game and win. And that's what we did. You started freshman year and we had a solid year. We made it to the quarterfinals, the playoffs, and lost a heartbreaker to Eastern Washington in overtime. My sophomore year, we went 14-1 junior year, and I nearly never looked back. We all bought in, we're on the same page with things, and it was definitely a commitment. It was definitely a commitment.
Brock, are you there? I think we're losing your reception over the cell phone. Are you still there, Brock? Hello?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, very good. We lost you for a second, but I think you're back. You've definitely, it's quite a story what you were able to accomplish over at North Dakota State. As kind of a sign of what that program has become, can you tell me a little bit about the experience of having ESPN's College Game Day come to campus this past season that put you in the spotlight quite a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? College Game Day was a really good experience. SBS teams don't even get the privilege of having those guys come to their school, and that was a very fun for not only us players, but for our fans. They really enjoyed it, and our Coach Paul let us go to the College Game Day set, the day before, so which was pretty sweet. We got to meet some of the crew. Just kind of see the setup and the scenery, which was awesome. It was a very fun experience for all of us and very, very memorable time. And, you know, we got a big win that day, so everything worked out great, and that was something that we can all look back on with fond regard.
Now, North Dakota State certainly hasn't shied away from scheduling opponents from FBS schools, and you actually beat big-time programs like Minnesota in 2011 and Kansas State in 2013. What do your performances in those games tell about you as a player?
Well, you know, we definitely don't shy away from the big moment. You know, whatever team is in front of us, regardless if they're, an SDS team or not, you're going to get my best, you're going to get our team's best. And that's what we've shown and proven, over the course of my college career, that, it doesn't matter who we go out there and play, you're going to get our best. And we're all in it together and with the right coaching and with the right guys around you, you can make things happen.
I watched that game against Kansas State on the road going into their stadium and winning that. That was quite a magical moment there. We're talking to Brock Jensen, a quarterback from North Dakota State and Wisconsin native here on Cheesehead TV. Brock, give me an honest scouting report on yourself. Tell me your best quality as a football player, the biggest thing you bring to the table, and then also your biggest weakness, something you have to work on.
For me, my experience, I've played and started in 53 college football games. So for me, being able to see different defenses, different looks, blitzes, coverages, just that experience that you get with, in the game and all through practice over the course of that many games certainly helps. And you can't take that away. And also just, having an upside, I got better every year at NDSU and showing that, I have my best football, left in front of me. And for me, I'm very coachable. I'm a student of the game and I have a great passion for football and there's no sport better than it. And, my heart's definitely 100% in. So that's, some of the positives out of it. The negatives as a quarterback, I think just accuracy as far as that goes. You can never be as accurate as you want to be as a quarterback. That's something that every QB strives to get better at. It's delivering that ball more accurate. I wouldn't say it's a huge downfall of mine, but it's just something that that can always be improved no matter what. That's what I'd say.
You talked about the passing aspect. You have prototypical size. You're listed as being 6'3", 225 pounds. But because maybe you kind of have a reputation as a dual threat player who didn't put up huge passing numbers in the college game, can an NFL team depend on you to be a drop back pocket passer at the next level?
Oh, absolutely. Over the course of my career at NDSU, we're a pro-style offense. We're very balanced. We were maybe a little bit more run-heavy my freshman year, but other than that, we were definitely balanced, even a little bit more pass-heavy my junior and senior year. But, they definitely couldn't rely on me to make every throw on the football field. I demonstrated it over the course of my career. And being in that type of offense, pro style offense definitely helps me. I'm very familiar with, the ins and outs of that type of offense and how to run it and how to be successful. Even more importantly,
you did run some option looks at North Dakota State. You've rushed for over 1,200 yards in your career. You certainly are, I think could be considered a little bit of a mobile quarterback. Does it help your case to see that happening more at the next level in the NFL, these quarterbacks having success running the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely been a part of my game. As much as I can just stand back in the pocket and fire the ball back there, that's great. But being able you know, be a little bit elusive and get outside the pocket and make plays with your feet or pick up that first down. Running the football is very important as a quarterback, and it's something many teams, many coaches like to see. And you know, that's just one of another element that I bring to the table. And, you know, it's something that you continue to work on in drills and in practice. And you know, it's very, very tough to stop a quarterback that, you know, uses his feet. You look at, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's a perfect example of a guy who, you know, great arm, great accuracy, is very dangerous with the ball in his hand in the pocket. But once he gets out, he's just as dangerous, you know, making plays with his feet. So I feel like I bring, you know, the same element to the table.
Tell me a little bit about your teammate who protected your backside these past few years, Billy Turner, who's another NFL draft prospect that took part in the Senior Bowl.
Well, Billy had a great career at NDSU. You know, he came in, didn't redshirt. The first start he had, a guy went down, and he stepped right in and never looked back after that. You know, he kept me off, kept me on my feet, I should say, my whole career, really. Maybe gave up a couple sacks in his entire career, which is very impressive. He's a huge, huge guy, and he moves, you know, very well for his size. He's physical. He was definitely, you know, our best offensive lineman, and even got voted the best offensive lineman in the country. So I'm excited to see what his future holds. You know, he'll get picked up. It's just a matter of where he goes.
Well, what's next for you, Brock? Are you getting ready for your pro day?
Yep. I'm out here in San Diego, California, getting ready for my pro day. Just practicing the different drills, different testing measurements that, you know, I'll be going through on March 12th on my pro day at NDSU. And you know, throwing with my quarterback coach, Steve Calhoun, who I think is the best in the country, and just getting sharpened up and, you know, I'll be ready for that day.
We talked about you being a Wisconsin native. Are you a Packers fan?
You know, I'm not a fan, I guess, of any NFL team, you know, at the moment. But I grew up as a kid, you know, a Packers fan. You know, I'm from Central Wisconsin, and you know, of course, you know, every I would think every Wisconsin kid growing up was a Packers fan, getting to go to Lambeau and watch the green and gold on Sundays. So yeah, you know, as a kid, I was a Packers fan.
Being, of course, a Packers show here, have you at all been in contact with Packers scouts, you know, when they come out to campus, watch you during the season? Has that been the case?
You know, over the course of the year, there were many scouts coming, especially after that Kansas State game. You know, scouts kind of see how that game wanted to go, you know, go down, and they wanted to see just on film some of the plays that were made in that game. So a lot of scouts came up to the offices, you know, after that win, and I got to meet a lot of different guys and just real brief. And, yeah, the Packers were one of them, but, you know, I haven't heard from them since, you know, the season ended. But, you know, I'm sure the process is just getting underway here. So many different types of teams will be calling, and we'll see if the Packers are one of them.
I'm sure they'll be in attendance at your pro day. Brock, we wish you all the best of luck, as I know that's kind of a showcase for you that day. We'd love to see you perhaps in the green and gold someday, but wherever you end up, we wish you the best of luck, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
All right. Take care. Brock Jensen joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV this morning. Brock, as he said, he's out in San Diego. He you know, he got a 6:30 a.m. wake-up call from us today. We appreciate him, you know, talking to us on the phone at such an early hour here at Cheesehead TV. That's definitely very generous of him to grant some time to us at such an early hour. So that's fantastic. But yeah, really cool to talk to a guy who, you know, a Wisconsin native, went to a program like North Dakota State, pretty much became the premier program at the FCS level. We're talking the formerly 1AA and you know, won three national championships. That's really cool. As he said, you know, beaten programs like Kansas State, like Minnesota. They've built a powerhouse program there, and what Brock has accomplished has been nothing short of amazing. And wish him all the best of luck in the NFL. You know, he's not Johnny Manziel. He's not Teddy Bridgewater. But you know what? He's got a chance in the NFL. And you know, I'm sure that's all he's looking for, is just a chance to prove himself. And who knows, he might make it. You know, with the undrafted guys, the Packers tend to give, you know, those Wisconsin guys a little bit of look. You know, and who knows, maybe there could be something there in the works, maybe after the draft or something like that. We'll see. But really cool to talk to Brock Jensen. But you know what? Moving on here, on a Friday morning, we got to address the issue that was brought up on Wednesday evening that has Packers Nation abuzz. On Wednesday evening, a report came from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, talking to a sources, I'm not sure, within the Packers organization, saying that the Packers are going to get heavily involved in free agency this year, perhaps signing upwards of five players from another NFL team. If you know anything about the Green Bay Packers, that is not their MO. Under general manager Ted Thompson, that is not the way they go about building a team. The Packers have been, you know, they got involved in 2006. You know, how many years ago was that now? We're talking 8 years ago, when they signed Charles Woodson, Ryan Pickett. They even signed Markhan Manuel that year, although his impact on the team was a lot less significant. But, you know, since that time, the Packers have just been, you know, sparingly involved in free agency, signing a guy like Brandon Chiller here and Jeff Saturday there. And those are probably the biggest names since that time, maybe. So, you know, not a team that gets involved in free agency. And now they're going to go in full bore and get five guys. You know, color me skeptical a little bit, but, you know, my reaction to it more than anything, and I wrote the column here at Cheesehead TV, it's at the bottom right-hand corner of your screen if you want to go check it out. How I feel about this news, will the Packers get involved in free agency? Well, it depends on what happens to their own free agents. As you've probably heard, the Packers have 20 free agents who are set to test the open waters early March. I think March 11th is when free agency actually opens. So they got a lot of guys coming up for contracts. You know, Sam Shields among them, BJ Raji among them. And it all depends on what the Packers do with those guys. You know, the list doesn't end there. Evan Dietrich Smith, John Kuhn, James Jones, Mike Neal, Johnny Jolly, all these guys, you know, NFL free agents coming up. And that's, you know, on top of that, that the Packers have, of course, a couple wide receivers, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, who are entering the last year of their contracts in 2014. At some point, they're going to get big contract extensions. And you hear all this about the Packers have some of the most salary cap space in the entire NFL right now. They got about $28 million of cap room heading into next year. And that's great. I mean, the Packers have generally manage their salary cap pretty well, but I'll tell you what, that money is going to get spent real quickly. I mean, first of all, it's $5-6 million is going to get swallowed up just by the 2014 draft class, We're not talking about whoever they sign. $5 million is gone right there with the 2014 draft class. You know, once you start tendering the restricted and exclusive right free agents, that's going to swallow up a little bit of money. But then on top of that, if the Packers sign Sam Shields, who we expect to probably maybe get the most money on the market this year of any current Packers player, you know, if they sign him, if they sign B.J. Raji, if they sign Evan Dietrich Smith, if they sign James Jones, if they sign John Kuhn, there's not going to be a whole lot of money left for free agents from other teams. There might be a little bit of money. But, I mean, it really, really depends, especially upon what happens to, like, three guys. Sam Shields, B.J. Raji, and Evan Dietrich Smith. Now, I think of that group, I think B.J. Raji is most likely to leave. But, hey, I'm not dismissing the possibility he comes back, and it really doesn't matter what I think. People out there will say, well, let B.J. Raji go, let him walk. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Ted Thompson does. If Ted Thompson wants B.J. Raji back, and reportedly they offered him $8 million, well, guess what? Then he's coming back. We could sit here and talk all we want till we're blue in the face about what the Packers should do. But I'll tell you what, if they sign B.J. Raji, if they sign Sam Shields, if they sign James Jones, Evan Dietrich Smith, there's no money available for outside free agents. Who, maybe a mid-tier free agent, sure, but don't expect them to get heavily involved and get some big-name free agent. Well, now, the silver lining, I guess, is I don't even know if you really consider it a silver lining. I do think that, some of these guys who are in line for big contracts, like Raji, like Shields, I think these guys are hell-bent on testing the free agent market. I think they want to get the biggest buck possible. I don't think they're ready to give the Packers any hometown discount or anything like that. These guys are going to shop their services, bid their wares, if you will, and they're going to try to get the biggest contract they can possibly get. And with a guy like Sam Shields, I've said this before, he's a Florida native. I think he's going to be tempted to go to somewhere else in the warm weather. Not to say that's going to be the overriding factor. I think whoever offers him the most money, that'll be the overriding factor. And if the Packers give him a competitive contract that's at least very close to the top offer he gets, maybe he could stay with the Packers. But okay, talking about, what if they leave? What if Sam Shields goes to another team? What if B.J. Raji goes to another team? Well, okay, if they don't sign these guys, then there is a little bit of money out there possibly that the Packers can use on potential free agents from other teams. I don't know who I get the question 3, 4, 5 times a day on Twitter. Who are the Packers going to target in free agency? Folks, I don't have a crystal ball. I know some of the biggest names out there, like Jairus Byrd of the Bills and TJ Ward of the Cleveland Browns. And just knowing that the Packers have such a need at the safety position, man, that would sure be nice if they, those guys would play in Green Bay. But, I know those guys are going to cost a pretty penny. The two I mentioned there at safety, those guys are looking for franchise tag type of money. And it's possible they might receive the franchise tag, making it unlikely they leave their current destinations. I know Jimmy Graham is a free agent in New Orleans. I mean, I don't know every free agent off the top of my head. I can't tell you who might be a target to come to Green Bay. But I will tell you that the thing I do know is how much money they have available all depends on what they do with their own free agents. If Raji's gone, if Shields is gone, if James Jones is gone, Mike Neal is gone, well, yeah, then there's a little bit of space available. There's a little bit of playing room. You know, they'll have a little bit of Monopoly money to throw around. Not Monopoly money, real money. Real money. There'll be plenty of it. And they can get involved with some people. And who that is, I mean, we'll find out in early March when free agency starts. So that's my reaction to this report from Ian Rappaport. I'm skeptical. I'm not dismissing it entirely. But yeah, I mean, it all depends on what happens to Shields and Raji more than anything else. And to a lesser extent, all the, you know, 17 unrestricted free agents on the Packers roster, Matt Flynn, throw him in there. CJ Wilson, throw him in there. I mean, these guys aren't going to get huge money, but all of a sudden it's going to add up, you know, it's going to add up. And then there's not going to be a whole lot left if the Packers sign a lot of them. So that's the approach I'm taking to this. So, but, anyway, other news in the world of the Green Bay Packers. The Packers signed a tight end yesterday. A guy by the name of, oh man, the name now escapes me. Oh, I got it right here. Raymond Weber. Packers signed a street free agent tight end, Raymond Weber, yesterday. And a guy who is making the conversion from wide receiver. He's a second-year player. He spent injured reserve his rookie year on the roster of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He spent some time in training camp with the New York Jets, but he's never played in a regular season NFL game before. But he spent time in the Arena Football League and the Canadian Football League. Basically, the Packers just are taking a chance here on a guy who they think might have a little bit of upside, and a guy who's making the transition from wide receiver to tight end. Used to be a wide receiver. He's packed on some pounds since that time. And, it's a low risk signing is what it is. You know, offseason rosters are at 90 players here. This is a guy who was on the street, wasn't with any team. You know, he's a long shot to begin with, but you know, it's like I said, it's a low risk signing. If he doesn't pan out, the Packers can sign him and he won't really have any salary cap ramifications or anything like that. So that's a good thing from that perspective that Packers got this guy. I wouldn't read into it as you know, having any impact on the futures of JerMichael Finley and Andrew Quarles in Green Bay. Those guys are both free agents, and they play into what we talked about earlier about, you know, what's going to happen at, you know, in free agency and all that. But, it, you know, sure, the signing of Raymond Weber at tight end adds depth to the position, but, you know, that's not going to stop the Packers from potentially bringing back JerMichael Finley or Andrew Quarles. So, it is what it is. It's a thing. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. That's your reaction to the signing of Raymond Weber, kind of maybe one of the bigger things that went down in the world of the Green Bay Packers on Thursday. But it's Friday. Later tonight, the last college football all-star game of the season is on TV. It's on College Sports Network. It's the College All-Star Bowl out in South Carolina. If you want to watch some NFL draft prospects, check that out. But that'll do it here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. By the way, happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Not going to get all lovey-dovey on you, but we Cheesehead TV loves you and appreciates having you as a listener, a viewer, and a reader. But folks, thanks so much for joining us here on a Friday morning. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We broadcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time live, podcasted later, of course. So all those great things. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. We'll talk to you then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.